You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Week One News aired a story discussing the fact that gang members in New Zealand now outnumber police officers. The story was aired the same day as the government released data showing that the number of victims of violent crime in Aotearoa has decreased. After the releases, Police Minister Mark Mitchell complained on Facebook that on the same day as the government announcement, One News ran a story seemingly with a contrary argument. Later in the week, One News aired a new story discussing the decrease in victims of violent crime. After the first story was aired, Media and Communications Minister Paul Goldsmith confirmed he had called the journalist to share his thoughts. He then was called by TVNZ's board chair, Andrew Barclay, where he says they discussed a range of matters, including briefly touching on the story. The situation has drawn criticism from some, who say it could indicate biased reporting by One News. To discuss the situation and the importance of independent journalism to a democracy, I spoke to senior lecturer in communication studies at the University of Auckland, Gregory Treadwell.
So, nine minutes.
Should be fine. All right, so we've seen this big case around Paul Goldsmith and his comments to One News. What does the law say around politicians trying to influence news coverage in general?
There isn't any particular law. There's a whole lot of conventions, and then there is the TVNZ Act, which maintains the distance between the government and the board of TVNZ, and then news practice would determine the distance between the board and the newsroom. So both are really incredibly important. We don't just need public broadcasters that are free from political influence. They need to be seen to be free from political influence. There's a massive amount of trust in this issue, and if we're going to have trust in our national broadcasters, then the two of which, of course, are state owned. They're not both state funded. TVNZ funds itself through commercial operations, and Radio New Zealand is funded by taxes. But they're both owned by the people. And on behalf of the people, they must operate with complete, obvious, transparent, freedom from political interference. So it's not so much about the law, but it very much is about journalism practice and the independence of Television New Zealand from the government.
Yeah. And how standard or how common is it for our politicians to publicly or privately rag on journalists for stories, articles they disagree with?
That's completely common. Any journalist will tell you that sources are often unhappy about what's been published. In this case, and that's partly because journalists don't work for the sources that they interview, they work for the public. And if they're telling both sides of a story, then both sides are going to be annoyed that the other side's story got told, right? So journalism is never out to please people. It's out to please the public with its independence, its detachment, and its fairness. But it isn't out to please the government. And so it's very common that politicians are furious with the media. And often they reach out and tell the journalist that they thought their story wasn't done as well as it could have been done. And there are regulating organisations for the public to complain to if they think that a piece of journalism is unfair, unbalanced, or not accurate. And there are other ways to complain as well. So politicians often criticise journalists behind the scenes. They'll phone them, they'll email them, they'll let their boss know they're unhappy with the story or whatever. The difference is when the board then feels nervous about political criticism and then contacts the politician. That's what's happened in this case. We mustn't ever mix up the purpose of the newsroom with the purpose of the board of directors.
And there's a bit of speculation around what's gone on. I'm just going to lay out the timeline. We saw the first article being put out that was criticising the government policy, and then the phone call came through between Paul Goldsmith and Andrew Barclay, and then a more favourable article was released a few days later. What are the implications if this phone call did influence the publication of that second article?
Then I think we have a real problem. But what we don't know is whether that is actually true. And we need to be quite clear on that at the moment. We don't know if TVNZ, the newsroom, decided to run a story about the drop in crime statistics, sorry, in violent crime victims because of the complaint of the government. Now, if it was direct pressure, and I just need to say we don't know that, but if it was direct pressure and the TVNZ board then directed the newsroom to run a more favourable story, that's a major problem for democracy and journalism in New Zealand. I personally don't think that is the case in this situation, but as I said earlier, things need to look clean. You know, if they look dirty, then the public will lose trust in both the government and the media. You know, one of the first rules for journalists is that you should never be, you must never be in a conspiracy with your source against the readership. You know, you work for the readership. So if they have sort of made an arrangement to publish a story that's more favourable for the government, that's just terrible news. But there is another possibility, and that is that TVNZ took the complaints on the chin, sat down, pondered, reflected on whether they'd done the best possible job, and then maybe made a completely legitimate editorial decision that they had been wrong and that they should cover the drop in violent victims, numbers of victims of violence, because the public deserved that. Now, it's the 5 days that sort of raises another question mark over this, and I can't answer that for your listeners, because I wasn't there. But 5 days is a long time to make an editorial decision on something as on a story as important as this. So it doesn't look good, but we don't know really what happened.
Mm. And so if there's, you mentioned a couple of problems there, the main one being transparency, things must look good. If that's the main issue here, what kind of changes, what kind of policy changes or behavioural changes could we see from our news agencies and the government to ensure something like this doesn't happen again?
I don't know that we need any changes, because I just know that it's already clear, or should be clear, to the Board of Television New Zealand, and this was the chair of the board who rang the minister, it should be clear to them that they do not, I mean, they might ring the minister on a number of issues, but to discuss an editorial issue, no. So that shouldn't be, it shouldn't be news to the Board of Television New Zealand that they don't talk to the minister about editorial decisions, and indeed they don't control editorial decisions themselves anyway. So the board has a legitimate interest, as it stated, in seeing that the newsroom behaves well, or is a good newsroom and does journalism well, but it isn't there to influence, control, make, or even influence decisions that should need to be made by the newsroom on journalistic principles, and not the financial interest of the organisation or the political interest of the government. Obviously, that is not part of their role. So I don't think we need to make changes, but I think this publicity has been very good for the issue, and that, you know, if TVNZ's board is tempted to do this again, it'll understand that we're watching.
That was the Auckland University of Technology Senior Lecturer in Communication Studies, Gregory Treadwell, speaking to me about a recent incident where Media and Communications Minister Paul Goldsmith contacted a TVNZ board member about One News coverage. We'll be right back after this short break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.